Welcome to the Intuitive Touch Animal Care live Facebook event, where we'll be talking about your pet's life purpose with you. My name is Ann Angela Webb, and I am the host. I'm the owner of Intuitive Touch Animal Care. I'm a professional animal communicator, professional massage practitioner for animals, energy worker, and also essential oils educator. Today, I'm going to be talking about a very special topic. As I mentioned, your pet's life purpose for you. And why this is so important is because our animals are on this earth to help us. A lot of times, people miss this point. They love their animal, they love their animal's companionship and company, they adore their pets, but sometimes people do miss the fact that our animals are here to encourage us. They themselves have life purposes, and we are here in turn to help them with their life purposes. So it really works amazingly well. It's incredible how this plays out in life. So part of what I do as a professional animal communicator is to help people to understand what exactly is their pet trying to tell them? How is their animal trying to help them achieve their life purpose, both the animals and the humans? So I'm excited to be able to talk about this today because it's something that comes up in many of my animal communication sessions. And if you're not sure what animal communication is, you're new to this. Basically, it's the ability to understand what an animal is thinking or feeling. And animal communication can be used from everything just to basically get to the bottom of what's going on with an animal that might be having some behavioral issues, might be urinating outside of the litter box is something that comes up sometimes. And this would be post having an animal checked out by what I usually advocate to be a holistic vet. But after an animal's been cleared by a vet or a vet isn't sure what's going on, sometimes they'll contact me to try and see if, from the animal's perspective, we can understand what's going on with them. So we don't diagnose or treat illness with animal communication. But we are there to help shed light on what's going on for that animal. So, just to sort of get started and give you a little bit of an outline of today's talk, I'm going to be discussing some clients that I've worked with, some animals that have just been wonderful, that I have been able to share with their animal family member what it is that animal is trying to tell them that their life purpose is. Or to just shed more light on what the animal's trying to communicate to the human, that they're trying to bring out in that human. So I'm going to be also talking about some of my animals. And we're also going to be talking here about how you can identify what exactly are the what is your pet's life purposes? And there can be multiple life purposes, but just for simplicity's sake, I say life purpose. And also, please share and like, comment on this post. I will reply to comments even after the live event is over. So feel free to leave any questions. And you can also always reach me through my email, ann@intuitivetouchanimalcare.com. It's Ann with an E, or my website, www.intuitivetouchanimalcare.com. All right, so let's get started. I am going to bring up some photos here. All right, so this is me and my dog Misha. So Misha has since transitioned since this photo was taken. But Misha was an extremely special animal. Misha was interesting. She came to me, as many do, as a rescue. She was brought up from the South, from Tennessee. She'd been through quite a bit. When I communicated with her, I was able to pick up on some things that had happened in her life. And she'd been through a lot. And just the simple process of an animal being, even when the handlers are being as gentle and loving as they can be, an animal being taken out of their environment and put in a truck and driven many hours and then landing somewhere completely new can be very difficult, very challenging for an animal, and it can be traumatizing. So Misha had been through all of that at the age of 3. And when she came into my life, I was looking for, I love German Shepherds. It's just, you know, a thing for me. I love all dogs, but German Shepherds, I just have a thing for. So I was looking for some kind of German Shepherd, whether it be a mix or purebred, whatever, but I was going through a shelter and my mother happened to be, she is a volunteer at an SPCA, and she said, oh, the people there would like you to meet this dog. Her name is Puppy Girl. So that was her name before I got her. And of course, I said, certainly, I would love to meet this puppy girl. So she was a little tentative when I first met her. And I decided to adopt her. There was just some connection there, I felt. And very soon after that, I realized that she had some real fears. She was quite reactive to other dogs. Sometimes she would even get a little bit aggressive, lunging at them. It was a fear-based response. But she would also shake and shudder if there was strange sounds, noises, new environments. She would even run off if she got off leash. She would just take off. And there was a few incidents of me running through the woods trying to find my dog. So she could be a challenge. And I started to realize I needed to do something very early on. And of course, you know, I sought help from dog trainers and that could be helpful, but there was just so much going on for her. So let me just backtrack this to tell you that I had also a cat named Emma. Emma was with me at that time and she'd been with me for a few years prior to Misha coming along, as was my cat Wolfgang. So I had always been communicating with animals all of my life, but I didn't know what it was. It didn't have a name. I just kind of did it and I didn't think about doing it. It was kind of like breathing. And one day I was invited to an animal communication course and I then realized what animal communication was. Sort of a light bulb went off and I said, oh, I do this already. And I went to the course and a lot of things were just coming at me very quickly. I was getting a lot of the information and the instructor was like, well, you think you're already doing this? And I said, yeah, I think so too. So I just felt my heart was there and I decided to pursue that. One of my biggest champions in that was Emma. She was very encouraging. I would communicate with her and she would help me understand better what animals were going through. She would give me insight. And she became what I call a master teacher. So when I teach classes, I have my animals do help. And some of them just really kind of take that leadership role as teachers and really want to help me out. And she was definitely one of those. So I was really encouraged to pursue animal communication. I wanted to help Misha, so I wanted to understand what was going on in her mind and her body. What was she experiencing? And I went down a lot of roads with that. I sought holistic care. You know, I did everything I could. And through that, doors just sort of opened, you know, meeting more people in this area, in this field. And I started to understand that this was a bigger issue. It was a lifestyle, a holistic lifestyle, if you will. So Emma was very encouraging that. And in turn, I was being encouraging of her purpose on this earth, which was to spread the word about animal communication. She was a catalyst. Misha was a catalyst. And Wolfgang also was a catalyst in that. Wolfgang is a character. He was interesting. Wolfie didn't take much seriously. And he did not want me to take anything seriously. So if I would get a little bit too serious, he would remind me to take it down a notch. He just had a great sense of humor and that would come through in our communications. So as time went on, of course, animals, we don't get to have them around as maybe long as we would like to. And of course, the first one in my life that was just a devastating experience was the transition of Emma. And that was followed by Wolfie a few years later. And in that process, I began to realize that there were some things that even though I was pursuing all these holistic measures and trying to do things in a way to best support my animal as beings that are really of nature and need to be in tune with nature, I was missing things. And also, unfortunately, I had not come to that immediately when they were young. So there was years of them maybe being exposed to things that weren't exactly helpful or supportive of their delicate bodies. So that was difficult to accept. When I realized what I had done, and I don't get me wrong, I don't believe it's helpful to hang on to guilt. You have to see this as a learning experience, which it was. And that was part of why they were in my life, was to teach me. And I needed to go through, or I went through these difficult experiences and feelings, emotions, for a reason. The light had to go off. I had to really decide I was never going to allow this to happen again. I was going to make sure that I was really committed to a very much holistic lifestyle for myself and my animals and my human loved ones. And in turn, anybody that is in my life that's willing to be open to that. So that was Emma, Wolfgang, and Misha. They were like stage one of the animals in my life that were an encouragement. As time went on, new animals came into my life, and those included Tierna, Gracie, and Cheyenne. So I want to call this almost stage two of my growth. So Tierna is the calico cat on the far right, Gracie's in the middle, and she's the tortie, and on the left, there's Cheyenne. So these are the animals that are currently in my life. And I really, by the time I adopted these animals into my life, I was really committed to animal communication and education about living healthy lifestyles. And then I had some more growth that I had to go through, because for instance, Cheyenne is a very friendly dog. She's not aggressive with other dogs. So I had lived this this life for many years with Misha, who I loved dearly, and I loved and accepted who she was, and that was fine. But I certainly wasn't going up to strangers very often with Misha. She just wasn't gonna work. So I kind of realized when I got Cheyenne, I was feeling a little bit, something was a little different. I was starting to realize I had to be a little bit more open to people I didn't know. And I met many people because of Cheyenne, because of how friendly she is, and the fact that she always wants to play with other dogs and needs that. That really opened me up to meeting people I never probably would have talked to before, not for any other reason than just you're going about life and you don't necessarily talk to strangers. But I met many people in places that I've lived that I wouldn't necessarily have become friends with, because they had animals and I had Cheyenne and she wanted to play with, you know, their dog usually. So she kind of had to push me, and that actually pushed me into becoming a person who had a dog who could be certified in pet therapy. So I got her certified in pet therapy, and she for a while was visiting veterans, and which was great. It actually helped her, because even though she loved other animals and liked other people, she was a little bit shy herself, and she'd been through quite a bit as well in her coming up north from North Carolina, and she'd had a rough start as well as a puppy. So she has some things too, and I had to adjust. I had to take care of the fact that she wanted to be friendly sometimes and didn't sometimes, and I had to help her. I had to get her more exposed. So that helped her as well, and it helped others, because she's the kind of dog that people just want to touch. She has her soft, beautiful fur, and she's a beautiful dog. So a lot of people would open up. They were able to kind of quiet themselves and pet her and talk, and it was helpful for her. And she's done that kind of thing since then with other groups. So she's been an incredible blessing in my life. And then we have TT and Gracie. So Gracie, similar to Wolfie, is that balance. She's a very funny cat. She likes to dart around the place and just suddenly, you know, go into those cat crazy moments where they're running everywhere and jumping on things. She even would break sort of tension. I used to run a group in my home that was a church group, and people would go deep, and sometimes we needed a little levity when people were getting deep into their stuff. And Gracie would do something like run up a cat tree, you know, a fake cat tree in my home, flip upside down and start playing with her tail. And, you know, it just brought some lightness and reminded us to laugh a little, smile a little. So she's great. And she's an encouragement as well. And then there's there's Tierna, the calico. She is another master teacher of mine. They're all teachers, but Tierna is quite wise. She's the oldest of my animals. And interestingly, she is what I would call a change maker. So she really, just in a very subtle way, will show how I need to change, be open to change within myself. And she helps others with that. She just identifies that. She's a teacher. So she's really a special cat, and she's been able to support me, and I can then support her in being able to help others on this planet. So all of these animals have challenged me. Now I'd like to talk about some very special animals that I've worked with through the work that I do. So this is Coco and I. So I was giving Coco some cranial sacral massage, and she was really enjoying that. So her person shot a picture of that, and she is a beagle who was adopted. She is also an animal that helps people to open up. Her person, his name is Jean, she can pretty much take a walk with Coco anywhere and will somehow end up finding someone will find them that needs to let go of or talk or release something, just to talk. So a lot of people will just come up to them and want to pet her. She has these very sort of soulful, peaceful eyes, beautiful eyes, and people want to pet her. And Jean has especially identified that she feels a calling that Coco has sort of helped her to see, to help women. Some of that came through experiences that Jean had in her own life that Coco helped her through, some really deep challenges. And in doing that, it's helped Jean come to a point of realization that that's something that's a calling for her. She also encourages Jean in her artwork. So she's been a real support for Jean. And in turn, Jean responds to the fact that Coco has that in her, this desire to help other people. She wants to go out into the world and do this kind of thing. So it's a back and forth. So hopefully you're starting to see how this works here, and maybe even starting to identify characteristics about your pet that kind of help to identify what their purpose is and how they're here to help. Then there is Ava, Bella, and Gina. So Ava is the current dog living with her person, Gina, and her son, her teenage son. Bella had passed. Unfortunately, I don't have a picture up here, but when Bella passed a couple months ago, Gina decided that this was very devastating for Gina and her son, and she decided that what she was going to do was to make something positive out of this, was to go and find a dog that really needed a loving home. And so the first dog that she came upon was Ava, and Ava had She was told Ava had been through a lot. She was a little bit older, and really needed a loving home. And Gina just knew in her heart that this was the dog. So this was also a dog that was supposed to be helping her son with the loss of Bella. However, when she brought Ava home, there were some challenges. Ava didn't actually really take to her son right away. She was kind of avoiding him, and she avoided other people. The only person she really would take to trust a little bit was Gina, and even that was taking some time. She was kind of hiding herself, shrinking back. When she would go to other people's homes with Ava, she wouldn't really want to interact with other people. She would just kind of cling to sit in Gina's lap. Gina felt like she had to really protect her. When I spoke with Ava, what was coming up for me was a really strong impression of human hands mishandling Ava, and this distress, this vulnerability and fear that she was feeling when she would be triggered by people touching her. And what came to me was an impression of her being used as a breeding dog. And when I said that, Gina said, "Oh my gosh, that's what the vet said. He felt that she had been used as a breeding dog." And so this is actually a very intuitive vet. It was very, very interesting. So I did some energy work with Ava to release that trauma. And just in that moment, when we did that energy work, she looked up at Gina when it was done, and Gina just knew something had clicked, something had happened. And she actually took her that right after we spoke. She was invited to a friend's house and brought her over there. And there actually were a lot of people there. There was a lot of family members there. And Ava got down and walked around, and for the first time was able to relax and be petted and be comfortable. She didn't cling to Gina, and it was really a turning point for her. And Gina has said that Gina was going through a very challenging time when she adopted Ava. And she really believes that Ava was brought into her life for a reason. And what kept coming up as well when I spoke to Ava was that this was a time of transition for both Ava and Gina, and that there was no doubt that she was there at this particular time to help Gina with her movement and to go forward. They're both going forward in life and leaving the past behind. And Gina confirmed that that's really where she was at this point, wanting to go forward. So another thing that came out of that is that very recently, it took a few weeks, and sometimes this is what happens when we communicate with animals. Just like us, things don't always happen immediately and overnight. We have to process some things. We have to kind of take things in, and we're walking a new walk, and sometimes we have to go through a few experiences. So it took a few weeks, but then all of a sudden, Ava started to relax a little bit with Gina's son, and I had given Gina some suggestions that I was getting from Ava for him to basically really back off for a while and not go toward her, to let her come to him, and some other things that were going on that were probably influencing, and nothing bad that he was doing. It was just inadvertent, and it was because of Ava's past. So she took that information to heart, which is always really important when we have an animal communication discussion. We have to take these things and really put them into practice, like give people homework. So she did all those things, and lo and behold, Ava let Michael hold him recently. So wonderful story about Ava, Bella, and Gina. And last but not least, we have Tag, the acupuncture dog. So Tag is a really interesting one. So Tag was adopted, it was about 5 years ago, by somebody who is a professional, licensed acupuncture professional locally, who has a community acupuncture office. And so she has 4 chairs in the room, and people come in and they sort of rotate, and there'll be 4 people at a time. It's a wonderful service in the community because it's a lower cost, so it makes it available to other people. So the person who owns this the center, she adopted Tag. She wanted to help Tag with just having a good rest of his life. He was 9 when she adopted him, and he'd actually been a show dog. So he'd had an interesting life. It's, you know, it's a big transition to go from that to not having a place to live and then being adopted and going into sort of this office with people coming in and out. Very different environment. And at first he was rather difficult. She sometimes would have to put him in another room. He would get a little bit anxious around strangers, and she just knew she needed to let him have his space. So she would put him in another place while people were there. But as time went on, he started to come out of his shell. He started to calm. No doubt the environment that he was in when they were at the office, when they were working, was part of that, probably. Just the peacefulness and the energy there was so good. And what happened was she would have people who were actually afraid of dogs, and they would come there, but somehow, some way, the Tag was interacting with them. She's had at least 4 people who have gotten over their fear of dogs because of Tag. No plan there, no special training, no special therapy. It just happened because he's a very special guy, and that's part of his purpose here, is to help these other people in their healing. In addition to that, a lot of people come in there and they've been through some difficulties. They've had to have challenging medical experiences, maybe cold environments where they've had to be in and gone through things that were uncomfortable. And so they come to this place for acupuncture, and Tag helps those people to calm down. They're able to pet him. He's soothing. People who were afraid of needles and things like that initially, Tag really helps them. As she's putting needles in one person, another person can be petting Tag, so they're not just building anxiety while they're waiting. So Tag is a very unique guy. He's about 11 now. Actually, he's a little bit older than that. I'm not doing the math right, but he's doing a lot in his later years. So a lesson that doesn't matter what your age is, you've still got things to do on this earth. So part of his lesson is that, part of his teaching. And in turn, his person, Dana, gave him that opportunity. So that's a beautiful thing. I would just like to mention again that I do have a website, intuitivetouchanimalcare.com, and any of these things that are on here, you can find more about on my website, some of these videos and various things. So just wanted to mention that. And also now I wanted to give you some ideas about how it is that you can actually begin to identify your pet's life purpose. So number one, I would say begin to notice patterns in their lives. So for example, Emma and Wolfie, for me, they had a lot of challenging, let's say towards the end, health issues that I link to early on maybe not having the right sort of support for their bodies that worked for them. And Misha had these other issues going on, behavioral, emotional things. And because of that, those patterns that just kept repeating, where I had to deal with that. And then even with animals, it's continued for me. Cheyenne has some issues in that area, some challenges, we have to use the word issues, but it's a real label and that doesn't help. It's limiting, but she has challenges in that area. As I said, she had some definite trauma as a puppy. And when things start that young, it can take some time to work through that. So it has really pushed me. All of these animals have just really pushed me to not stop my training. That's why I ended up going into animal massage. And I'm training currently in acupressure, energy work, essential oils, anything I can do to support them naturally is what I like to do. And I'm not saying that there aren't times when it is other types of intervention aren't called for. I'm not saying that at all. But in general, I like to, on a daily basis, try to support my pets as naturally as I can and to provide information about that. So Cheyenne made me uncomfortable. And so this is the second thing, is what your animal is kind of leading you to, or things you have to do to help your pet. Is that making you a little uncomfortable? So the level of socialization that I was having with people I didn't know was way beyond the norm for me. Cheyenne pushed me into that. And it was a little uncomfortable. I kind of gotten used to my circle. And you know, it was different for me to have to do that. Misha also, because of her, my love for her, inspired me to produce an album of children's songs. And that was uncomfortable. I actually hadn't sang in many years. But it was really on my heart to write that album. And I'll tell you a little story. It was probably February, March, and I was starting to feel really pushed of 2013. I was starting to feel that start of the year, this real push to take these songs that I had had in my head for many years and write them down and get them put out there, produced. That was extremely uncomfortable for me. And it just kept coming to me, though. I kept hearing from her, pushing me to do these songs. And so I did it. And it was difficult, but I got through it. And I have people who really enjoy that album. In addition to that, the day before Misha passed, which was unexpected, I focused in on getting a book written that went with, about her life, and that went with the, based on her life, that went with this CD. And I got it all down on paper. It wasn't the done deal, but it was the real bones of it. Well, I just felt pushed to do that. And the next day she died. And that was her. That was her. She knew, and we were connected, and I knew she wasn't in the best health, but, and it was sudden what happened, but in the final, at the end, but I am so glad that I was listening to her, because I believe that it, as I work on that book, as time goes on, I believe that if I hadn't done it at that point, I probably never would have, because I did take a break after her passing. I think I would have lost it a little bit. So I was glad that she was there as well for me to be able to put that pen to paper and inspire me. So these are just some examples of how animals, we start to identify what their life purpose is and what they're trying to tell us we need to do in our life, what we need to accomplish. So also, if their patterns influence others, then that could be a sign. Are you endlessly researching methods of trying to help other people or other animals like myself? My animals are here to help other animals, not just me to work through me, but that's a part of it. But my animals will even help other animals that they come into contact with. So they're influencing other animals in their lives, influencing me to help other animals and their people in turn. And I am a licensed clinical social worker as well. I have that background, and I'm a personal intuitive coach as well. And I work with animals in that coaching. So these are all just examples of how animals can help you to start to identify a purpose you might be have that maybe you're glossing over, or maybe even know, but you've been avoiding, but your animal's starting to push you a little bit. You're starting to sense that these patterns aren't going away. So I encourage you to follow that intuition. Really what this all comes down to is listening to our animals. It's so important to listen to our animals. Take the time. They are often trying to get us to slow down and listen to them. And that's part of that. It's an indicator when you have to change your lifestyle. For instance, someone that I worked with was really out all the time, busy, 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 wasn't home a lot with her animal, but then her beloved animal started to have some health issues. She didn't want to be out all the time. And in staying home, she started to reconnect with herself. She started to realize that she was avoiding some things that she needed to work through about her own past, about her own life. And the fact that she needed to be home and be there for her animal brought that all out. And now she's grown quite a bit because of that. So begin to notice these things. And of course, I can always help you with that. It's definitely a definite aspect of what I do. It's a repeated sort of theme that comes up in the work that I do with animals and their people. So don't hesitate to contact me if you're looking for some assistance in that area. And also, I now have a brand new Intuitive Touch Animal Care Facebook group. It's about animal communication and care, and it is a closed group, so you need to request to join, but you can find that link on my Intuitive Touch Animal Care Facebook page. And also, go to my website, download some free stuff. I have an MP3 that'll get you started with animal communication, or if you're already communicating with animals, it's a real good aid to help you in that process. It's got some isochronic tones that help people get into that deep meditative state to better hear and listen to the animals. I also have an ebook on there, which is about essential oils for animals. So go there and get that free stuff. Thank you so much for joining me today.